Welcome to the Lou Trek Show. Show number 2,668,755 for Monday, September 22nd, 2642. Okay, all right. We haven't perfected time travel just yet, but we're still working on it. So this is going to be show number 22 for Monday, September 7th, 2009.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
And now, a man who wants to visit San Francisco just to see the nuclear vessels. Your host, Lou Costanza.
Always gotta be right with your little quips. We get it, man.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.bubbagump.com. That's bubbagump.com. Why do I always get that mixed up? Anyway, our main website is loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that's all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point. I will work them in as part of a future show. In fact, I received an email that I forgot to print, so I can't read it, but I'll read it next week. You might find it interesting. You might find it obvious, too. You can join the show forums. They are up and running and currently still has one user. That would be our co-host. So, it's just me and him, and we're not even sending messages back and forth to each other. That's what we got to do. Go to loutrekshow.com/forums and sign up today, and you'll get a stimulus check of $1,000 in your mail. You can discuss... Oh, that's crap, by the way. But still, sign up today, please. You can discuss anything about Star Trek as well as topics of your choice and send me an email. Let me know you signed up, what your username is. I'll approve it quickly. I'll approve anybody right now. So, you can also follow us on Twitter by going to loutrekshow.com/Twitter. T-W-I-T-T-E-R.
Tweet.
Or you can leave us voicemail on Skype at loutrekshow. Again, that's all one word, Lou Trek Show, or call us directly at area code 630-WWW-TREK or 999-8735 for those who say, God, I hate those words on the phone. If your voicemail is family-friendly, I will play it on a future show. Anybody, just send me a voicemail, I'll play it. I don't care what it is. If you want to be part of a future roundtable discussion on Star Trek, and that's how our co-host actually became a member of this, was a roundtable. And he was so nuts, I just thought, let's keep him. He's, you know, it's like the pet in the corner. You got to have him. So, send me an email. Tell me what topic you'd like to discuss, and we'll get back to you on that. Now, as far as that co-host...
And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present your co-host... A man who takes five pain sticks and kills his chatish all before having his gach for breakfast. Your co-host, Brian Dedamore.
Bring on woman, drink blood wine all day. A Klingon woman, use weapons for play. The kind of girl I've been waiting for, even by the Lissa and the Tor.
Brian, what's going on, buddy?
Kapla!
Back at you. Did you happen to notice he said something about using weapons for play? I'm not so sure I want to do that.
I love that intro. That was so beautiful.
Can you imagine getting it on with the Klingon woman and she pulls out a dagger and you're just not really too concerned? In fact, you're thinking, go ahead, do it, please. No, I don't think so.
Oh, no. I take the dagger and use it and cut off her clothes and then use her like the dog she is.
Ah.
After I bite her, after I nibble on her ear a little bit and stick my teeth in the back of her neck.
So, for those of you 12 and under, what he's talking about is what you see on Sesame Street when we try to do the letters, you know, like, or the number of the day. One, two, oh, the letter of the day. Shut up, Brian. You'll get kids listening. Anyway. Anyway, you know.
I'll be honest, Lou. We were talking about Klingon sex.
okay. folks, I really need to give a parental warranty.
Yes, please, parents. This was a nasty part of the show. Yeah. Please instruct your children not to listen to our foul, nasty, bad attitudes.
Yes, yes. Because Brian's just a beep, and a beep, 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 and then stupid guy beep, 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 beep.
You know what? I've got more beeps than Howard Stern's got bad reviews.
Oh, man. I can give Howard Stern some bad reviews, man. He's useless to me, but that's an argument for another day. So anyway, what's new in your world? You got some news, you got some stuff, and unfortunately...
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on today. Hmm. Well, first off, I want to talk about Starbase Indy. That's the fan-base-run Star Trek convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, during November 27th through the 29th. As you know, one of our guests is William Morgan Shepherd. He played the Gulag commander on Aurora Penthe in Undiscovered Country for us Klingons. Uh-huh. But we also have another guest coming, too.
It's known as the Alien's Graveyard.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Jeff Richter. Now, if you don't know who Jeff Richter is, on Star Trek The Next Generation, when they kidnapped Captain Picard and left a duplicate of him, and threw him in with a room with three other people to do an experiment, Jeff Richter was one of those two aliens.
Ooh.
And you can find out more about the convention at www.starbaseindy.com.
StarbaseIndy.com.
Yes, and it has all the hotel information, and the convention is relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. It's $25 for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a big Klingon party, and they're talking about having some other stuff going on. The schedule for everything should be coming out sometime the end of next week. Mm-hmm. So keep checking and updating the website and see what's going on. I just found out about Jeff Richter 2 days ago.
Really?
So, because I did an update. I did one of my updates, and sure enough, there it is. Popped out. Figuring I'll get out. And now I'm going to talk about something else that's dear to me just as much as this radio show is.
Now, let's make sure you everyone understands that Starbase Indy, that's $25 to be a part of the convention, not the hotels.
Yeah, to be at the convention. Yeah, the hotels cost $92 a night.
Yeah. Unless you price line something, but good luck with all the people coming into town.
Yeah, tell me about it. Now I want to talk about something else, too. Something that I was a part of and now I have total control of. It's called Klingon Space. It's a social site for Klingon warriors.
Yes.
And those people who like to find out more about what the Klingon, find out why people are Klingon, find out how Star Trek wrote the Klingons in the history, find out why there's Klingons that look like humans, and then there's Klingons that look like the big ridges and everything.
Uh-huh.
And that website is www.klingonspace.ning.com.
All right, klingonspace.ning.com. And I do want to say one thing, everyone on Klingon Space, howdy from the Lou Trek Show. I recently have been, I signed up a while back and re-signed up again recently, and I've even started a Lou Trek Show group on there. So if you are listening to this show and you are a member of Klingon Space, please join our group, say kapla, and we'll see what we can do.
Leave a comment, because I'm the one that owns the site.
Yep.
So I check it every day. I get everything that comes in Klingon Space.
Yes.
You got a suggestion for the show? There's another place you can leave a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy. It's real easy to sign up. It's free to sign up into the group. You just say, I want to join the group, and then you can start posting. And people who are also in the group can see your comments and either add to it or expand on what your ideas mm-hmm. are. So please sign up in the group and let's hear your thoughts, because we want to make this show as fun and interesting for the Star Trek fans as possible.
Absolutely. Without the user, without the listener, there'd have to be absolutely no reason why we'd be here. So you want to be part of the show, you will be. We'll interview you. We'll talk to you. Anything that you have about Star Trek you want to talk about, we would love to. I even want to pull up, like, Stump the Host But I haven't been too daring to try that, unless maybe it's like TNG or Voyager. Then you could try and stump the host. Now, if you're going to ask me, you know, what foot first did Harry Kim use when he was walking in the corridor, I don't have a clue. But plot lines and stuff like that, yeah, I'm going to be pretty good at. So someday, Brian, we're going to have to do a stump the host.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Yep.
Now, I got something else, too, and this is a travesty. The biggest travesty in the world. Do you believe it or not, of all the Star Trek fans in this world, every member of the USS Enterprise's main character crew is on the Walk of Fame, but one. Chekhov is not on the Walk of Fame, believe it or not.
Very, very wrong.
Very, very, very wrong. So there is a campaign going on right now to a writing campaign to have the people put his star out there with the rest of the other crew of the USS Enterprise.
Sure.
And the TOS. And you can go to that at www.walterkroenigsite. That's walterkroenigsite.com/walterstar.html. That's walterstar.html.
Now, before you go on and do that again, just go to the website lewtrekshow.com. I'm going to have links to all these right there on the front page, so you don't have to
also,
write this down.
And there'll also be links to that on the USS GorCon website as well, which is ussgorcon.com. All those links will also be on my fan club website, and they will also be all on the Klingon Space site as well.
There you go. Now, I do want to mention something. It's kind of like, you know, we're going to be bidding a couple farewells. You're going to have one, and I'm going to have one. I'd like to mention this before we get into yours, because it's a little more lighthearted than yours is. But there is a Star Trek podcast that I have listened to for a couple years and was actually the inspiration for me wanting to do a Star Trek podcast. And then, of course, Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show was my catalyst for finally doing a podcast. And if you haven't seen Mike Tech Show, just go to miketechshow.com. You'll see links all over my website for Mike Tech Show. But the Star Trek podcast was by a few guys in the UK. It was named Make It So, and they were a very brutal podcast. I mean, there's no such thing as family-friendly on them. They were very nice, very sweet, but very brutal, and the words they used were just flying out. But it was just simply amazing some of the things they came up with, like, you know, why is there no cursing in Star Trek? And so they gave us examples of why, and I won't do that on this show. But they have decided they're going to decommission Make It So for a while, so it's done for a while. I wish them the best.
And so do I.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope to hear from them again. The guy's name is Richard Smith. He has other things that he does. You can go to simplysyndicated.com. I'll have a link to them as well in the website. Listen to some of their other shows, and you know, you've got 100-some Make It So episodes to listen to. I suggest you do. Just as much as I like you to listen to mine, listen to his.
Maybe one day we ought to talk with them and have them come on our show.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And do a tribute to them.
Absolutely, because my whole basis of doing a Star Trek podcast is based on what they did.
They're the TOS, we're the next gen.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. So anyway, okay, now your turn.
This is for Jill Curry. For those who are on Klingon Space, you know her simply as Lushi. She's the Katarin that runs the non-Klingon races that are loyal to the Klingon Empire. Some of us who are close to her know that her ex-husband's father passed away today. And she's been with him for the last 27 hours in ICU watching him die. And she has really been devastated. So Jill, or should I say Leshy, we here at the Loot Track Show feel for you, and we understand your pain. And to honor a warrior of the Klingon Empire, which she is, she does belong to a Klingon organization, the Klingon Strike Force. She is a honorable member of their organization, and we are going to do a tribute to you. We are going to do a proper Klingon burial ceremony for your fallen father. We're going to allow him to join the famed warriors in Stovacor and announce to the Black Fleet of his coming to them.
All right. You ready?
All right. Go.
There you go. Again,
Leshy, this is for you.
That's right. We love you, dear. We love you, dear. Stick around. We'll be fine. We'll all.
By the way, she's co-writing a book with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What I do is I feed her bylines, and then she writes up bylines about what she's doing, and I write about every other member of the crew.
Cool. Okay.
So probably I would say we're doing about a chapter a week.
Huh.
So we're hoping to have something out by March. So when I release that, her and I will be trying to release an ebook on that.
Cool.
So okay. when we get it wrote, then I'll announce it to everybody, and we'll do a Loot Track Show special about the book, and then I can tell you parts about it and how I came about with the storyline and stuff.
Cool. That'd be great. Well, why don't we get into the show and do some talking here? As many of you know, it was this week, 43 years ago, that Star Trek first premiered. Let's hear a little bit about that pilot. Hold on. Why don't we hear about the original cage here in Gene's voice?
But now I want to take you back to a time when the Enterprise and Spock and Kirk and all the rest were just part of an idea I had. Back to the beginnings of Star Trek. To the first Star Trek pilot. A pilot being a film that is meant to demonstrate to a network what a new series will look like each week. This 60 Minutes is today considered something of a television document, and some regard it as perhaps as exciting as any Star Trek that's since been filmed. When the network saw what you soon will see, they rejected it. From that day until now, the first pilot has never been seen in its original form. This Star Trek pilot story is called The Cage.
Check the circuit.
All operating, sir.
Convene the screen, then.
It begins on the bridge of a recognizable Starship Enterprise, commanded by Captain Christopher Pike, played by the late Jeff Hunter. So far, so good. Except that TV in those days was at the peak of its love affair with the Western story.
Western.
I wanted to sell my series, so I had promised the network that my Star Trek idea would be little more than a space Western. A wagon train to the stars, zap guns instead of six-shooters, spaceships instead of horses. But as I began writing that pilot, I suddenly realized that here was a chance to do the kind of drama I'd always dreamed of doing. I had seen science fiction movies before, but I'd always thought to myself, not enough characterization, not enough motivation.
And that was how it started. So, it's very interesting, you know, 43 years ago. Hear a little more of the original pilot.
She does a good job, all right. It's just that I can't get used to having a woman on the bridge.
Ooh. Sorry, number
you
one.
You might have thought.
Yeah, I can't get used to a woman on the bridge. Now, they're all over Captain Janeway. So, which is fine. Hey, they do a good job. That's all that matters. I could
keep this. That's wrong. It's Admiral Janeway.
Oh, that's right. She was promoted to Admiral.
Yeah, she come back, they made her an admiral and put her ahead of Picard.
Absolutely. And since 1966, 43 years to today, guess we know that there were 11 films. We know that there were 5 incarnations of Star Trek. Do we know how many total episodes were made in that time?
No, I don't actually, but I have a feeling you do.
I got a whole bunch of people together. We lined up and I started using fingers from one end to the other end and came up with 722. Or, better yet, I cheated and looked at, I Googled that question. All right. Now,
by the way, if you haven't figured this out, this is comedy night.
Yes, it seems to be comedy night. It gets funnier all the time.
Tell me about it.
In fact, you know, you people don't know, in making this show, I've had to pause this recording 4 times. And, of course, one of those was the little, Daddy? You know what I need outside my room here, outside of my little studio of my office, is a little recording light that says, you know, it blinks, recording, recording. Because, you know, or else I could just say,
quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, but that doesn't always work, you know.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, we'll see if that works.
By the way, for the listeners, too, I just want you to know just how dedicated I am about doing this show. I've been sick all week.
Yeah.
And yesterday I was on, Lou had called me and reminded me because like a dumb Klingon I am that's aging and losing his mind. I forgot to come on last night. And when I did, I was coughing so bad that I just about blew poor Lou's ears out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tonight I'm a little bit better. My head's uncongested, and I'm breathing a little bit better, and I'm doing a little bit well. But there has been a few times where I've had to mute my thing real quick, because if I cough, Lou would be deaf.
And so would you. Yeah, everyone would be deaf. So,
like what I just did a second ago.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, anyway, now let's go into 43 years of Star Trek, and of course, one of the pitfalls of being on Star Trek is you get typecasted. I don't know. William Shatner went on to pretty good things,
William Shatner went on to pretty good things, and in a sense, Leonard Nimoy also did too.
Yep.
Because instead of trying to go into acting, which I think he knew once he was stereotyped as Mr. Spock,
he
wasn't going to get much work. He went into documentaries because his voice was such a noted, being Spock, his voice was actually more of a star for him than just his face.
Sure.
So, and he brought, what was that one documentary he did all the time about strange phenomenons?
Yes. I don't know the name, but I do know what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah. He brought notoriety to that because he was Spock. He was Leonard Nimoy, and it made him a household name, in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
And back to Walter Koenig for a moment, okay? He's done a lot of sci-fi outside of Star Trek. He was a noted guy in Babylon 5. I think he's made some other – he's made some sci-fi channel movies with him in it doing sci-fi stuff. So – in a sense, in the early Star Trek people have gotten stereotyped.
Yes.
And did have some setbacks in their careers because of it. Like the Next Gen, Patrick Stewart, before he did Star Trek, he was a noted Shakespearean actor.
Yes.
And was already famous before he came on Star Trek.
And now, I don't want to derail you.
Oh, okay.
But after he did Star Trek, here's a little example of some of the things he's done since Star Trek.
Number one won't get in his place between the zero and the two.
I can see that would be a problem.
You're telling me it's not, after all, 0, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, please, number one, get in your place.
Count, you know, maybe I could be of some assistance.
How?
Well, you want the one in its place, right?
Right.
Make it so, number one.
Oh, you are very good at that.
I've had a little practice.
Hmm.
All right, Count, you can go ahead.
Well, thank you. That's a good idea. I will do that. Zero. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine!
And I talked about Sesame Street earlier.
Thank you so much, Mr. Stewart.
But he played.
Well, you're very welcome, Count. It's my pleasure. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
But see, some of the stuff he's also done is he's played Richard the Lionhearted in a movie. He has played Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, he did?
Yeah. Yep, he has. Since Star Trek. He's also played Charles Xavier.
Okay.
He's an X-Man. And that's how some of the Next Gen people have went on and done better things.
Sure.
Lamar Burton does documentaries now. And he also has written and directed some of the other Star Trek shows out there.
Oh, the fan productions?
Fan productions and other stuff.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so has Jonathan Franks.
Sure.
Okay. The character played Tuvok. I can't think of his name right off
Tim
the top
Russ.
Of my head. Tim Russ started off as a cameo role on Next Generation.
Yeah.
Moved up into the role of Tuvok, and has actually done off Star Trek, like Star Trek of Gods and Men.
Yep.
Which is a very good video. I mean, it depicted the theme of how Star Trek was and is, and how it was enjoyed by everybody.
Sure.
He's done an excellent job. I mean, the people who have been in Star Trek from being on the shows are recognizable by us.
Yes.
Okay, outside of the Phantom. People know he's Tuvok. Okay, or this is Ensign Kim.
Yep.
Or this is Ro Laren. Denise Crosby, still people say she's Tasha Yar, or she's Sela.
Yep.
And in fact, she's used in a lot of the video games that are out there now.
Oh.
Christopher Plummer, who played General Chang in Undiscovered Country, does videos. He did the Klingon Academy video game.
You know, I think he's gone now. I think he died.
So, yeah, I mean, there's, you'll see their images on, if you go to Klingon Space, you can see a lot of their images still showing up, from the stuff that they've done.
I
think
about
Odo for a minute.
I'm so
His
wrong.
Noted fame was Benson.
Really?
Okay, yeah, he played the, it wasn't the chief of staff, he was, one of the governor's assistants, and he played a general in Undiscovered Country, and then turned around and played Odo in DS9. Neelix played on Benson and went on to play Neelix in Voyager, and also did a bit part in Star Trek of Men and Gods.
God's
he played the he played a cameo role as a Federation technician.
Yeah.
I mean, Janice Wren, who played the yeoman on TOS, is still alive. She's been to Indianapolis several times at the conventions. She also was in that Star Trek of Men and Gods as well.
Yeah. Yes, she was.
So the stars have... Star Trek has impacted the stars' careers. Some of them, it has enhanced it. Some of them, it's not. But overall, the fans know who they are. And if you've ever been to a Star Trek convention, you can see how much the fans appreciate those actors who have went out there and done it. Even bit parts like what Jeff Richter did and what William Morgan Shepherd did.
Sure.
Okay. Are still, their acting is appreciated. And people will come up and get autographs from these people just because they were there. They got to do what us Trekkies or Trackers would dream about doing. I would love to have been just a Klingon on board DS9 getting shot.
Oh, yeah.
Or stabbed. Uh-huh. Okay. In fact, all those Klingons that were on that raid on the boarding parties, those were all actual fans.
Really?
Yeah, they did a... I remember when this was all going out, they had recruited fans to play all those Klingon parts.
Wow.
Okay. And they got to keep their uniforms and their weapons and everything.
Wow. That. Oh, yeah. See, I always said I would kill to get on a set and have a console explode in my face.
Yeah. Heck, blow me out. Blow me out of the view screen.
Absolutely fine with me.
I would be happy to have Worf stab me in the gut.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just because, one, I'm an actor on a Star Trek show.
Yep.
Even if it's a bit part, I'm being captured on video.
Yeah.
For the rest of eternity, people will know, oh, yeah, that was the Klingon that Worf stabbed.
Yeah.
Okay. I get to go, and now I would get to walk up on the stage and tell fans of my experience being on the set of a Star Trek show.
Yeah.
Okay. And tell them how I became a fan.
This is
what makes people like me dress up as a Klingon. Okay. What makes you go out and create an iPod radio show about Star Trek?
I was just thinking about what my role would be while you were talking, and my guess is, you know, first they'd have to find a uniform to fit on my fat ass, and when they finally do, I'll be the guy at Starfleet headquarters walking down the hill as Worf and Riker are walking up the hill, and they look back at me going, Jesus, they'll let anybody in here now, won't they? I don't care, I'll do that. You bet. Well, you know, okay, let's talk about the technology of Star Trek, and I've been wanting to get Mike to do a round table with me, do a Mike Tech Show, Lou Trek Show round table discussion, and call it the Tech of Trek, and how these things, these futuristic gadgets like the communicator, have actually come to life.
And let's start with the computer.
Yeah.
Let's start with the actual computer. It's what we're using right now to create this show.
Yeah.
If you look at the new computers out there, they're almost all touchscreened.
Yep.
Walk up and touch my screen to do the same thing what I'm doing right now with my mouse.
Computer disks. Spock always had his stack of computer disks.
Now
we do. Absolutely. Yep. The phaser.
Look at our cell phones.
Yeah.
What are they? They're glorified communications.
That's our communicators.
You're right. I mean, I can sit here and right now, I'm sitting here right now, looking at my emails, why I'm sitting here on the Lou Trek Show and getting data down for whatever I need with my cell phone.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Okay.
And they got global chips in them. So if I got my cell phone and the USS Gorkon up in space needs to find me, they can beam me right back up to my Star Trek club.
Sure.
Okay. Because they can find – or if I'm lost – or someone has kidnapped me, and they're trying to find me, all they have to do is track my GPS on my phone.
There you go. The pad.
And that's the technology of Star Trek.
Yeah, look at the pad, you know.
Yeah, look at the pad.
No.
It's a half-size version of a notebook.
Yeah, or Blueberry.
In fact, they have the pads now that you can scroll down and do all that stuff. It's called an iPhone.
Or the Crackberry, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Or how about the holodeck? I think someday we're going to be moving very close to holography. And we actually can now in a very brutal sort of way.
Yeah.
But still, someday we're going to. How about Kirk's wristwatch? Remember that? How he used to talk into his wristwatch? Now you can use those as walkie-talkies. You can use them as radios. You know, how about the tricorder? I got a feeling, you know, someday
they've got working tricorders now.
Sure, Actually,
they actually sell working versions of Spock's tricorder.
Sure.
And in fact, I had a link from a good friend of mine named Gary Barkley, who's, if anyone knows, if you ever watch, go to MySpace and stuff, he's noted for playing Mr. Spock in contests and stuff, and has his own comedy routine too. He sent me a link to where you can buy the next generation tricorders that actually will read radiation, mm-hmm. Geiger counter, will read heat sensors,
yep.
will read temperatures and all that other kind of stuff, that just as if you were had the actual tricorder in your hand.
Yep.
$500, but what can I say? There's nothing stopping the, other than cost, of them building hand phaser weapons now.
Yeah. Now, there's two things about Star Trek gadgetry that I believe they are actually working on that I can't believe will ever happen. One of them, we keep trying, but the other one is the transporter. And from what I understand, they can actually move small amounts of matter from one area to another. I can't understand how I would like to see it done to believe it. I just have a hard time believing something could disappear in one spot and go move into the other. But they claim it can. And, of course, the last one is time travel. Someday, you know why I say there's no such thing, there will never be any such thing as time travel, even though we keep trying? Why do you think that there would never be time travel?
Because we just don't have the technology to do it.
No, there's even an easier way to prove it. I believe I could prove there's no such thing as time travel. Why? Because no one's ever done it. No one has ever come back from the future to show us that there's such a thing as time travel. So, but still, no one's ever come back from the future.
How do we know?
That's true. I mean, okay. Take me into the future.
I have to look at your logic and ask, how do we know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They must have a
control. Someone could have come back in the future, mm-hmm. and what happened to that one captain that got stuck in the past?
Yep.
He had to merge into the past, and they thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, you never know. There's probably some guy in a loony bin somewhere who says, I'm from the future, and actually might be from the future.
Captain
there
Braxton.
There might be some guy that has a portable time machine or a portable time pod, yeah. that he captured off somebody, figured out how to work it, traveling back in the future, pulling minor pieces of technology, which what, like the 23rd century would think would be like toys for them.
Yeah.
Could be our cell phones that we're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, another thing.
Who's to say that Microsoft guy.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the future, grabbed a pad from the USS Gorkon, transported back, and then made a personal computer out of it.
I thought that was funny on Voyager, Mr. Sterling. You know, irrelevant. Without me, there'll be no barcode readers, no internet, no laptops. I thought that was a great speech there. I laughed during the whole thing. But, how about you and I develop a thing to read your thoughts? Here we go. Let's try it. You ready? We're going to give it a try. We'll see if you can read my thoughts.
And now, using Star Trek technology, this is what Lou is thinking at this moment. That was what Lou was thinking at this moment.
Incredible! That worked! That's exactly what I was thinking about right at that moment.
What do you think I'm thinking about right now?
I don't know. You know, just like every Star Trek, you know, thing that happens, the emitter burned out just after it was done. So I'm afraid we're going to have to redo this, and we'll have to try again next week. So
I'll give you a hint. Huh? Five for five.
Arby's?
Yeah.
See, it worked. Yeah. Five for five.
Well, we were talking about computer technology.
Mm-hmm. And that slid right into Arby's.
And something that I kind of disdain from having someone do is play with my computer. But look at the technology now. there is a software out there right now that allows Lou Costanza to log on my computer and help me fix the problems that I have with my recording end of this show. And Lou, since I got my new computer, I've been trying to get caught up with what Lou's got at his place. So yep. If for some reason Lou would all of a sudden disappear off the face of the earth or get so sick he can't come and do this,
yeah,
I have to take over. And I've been trying to get with Lou. Lou's been very helpful, helped me set up my computer to do the same thing his computer does.
Yep. Now, folks, we're going to try and read Brian's mind again, because he says he doesn't like people to mess with his computer, and we're going to find out the real reason why. There's something he doesn't want you to find. Let's try and see what that might be.
And I'm going to teach something relevant, something modern. The Internet is really, really great.
Yeah, that explains it, Brian.
Well, you were close.
Yeah,
but
it was close, yeah.
My answer's in our Skype chat, which the only two people will ever see it is me and Lou. Thank God.
Thank God, I ain't saying that. Okay, but I'll give you a hint. He needs some Klingon women.
No, I need Orions.
Yeah, oh, the right. Yeah, there you go. I don't even think they'll do that. But anyway.
So, oh, yeah, they will, but they'll be the ones on top.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, well, the Lou Trek Show has hit a brand new low.
Not yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah, really.
Hey, we haven't done the Riker maneuver yet.
I don't know how to do the Riker maneuver.
Or the data penetration.
Aha, okay.
The Internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I've got a fast connection so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
Oh, yeah.
There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
You know, she says Trekkies in this.
Internet is for porn.
Trekking.
The Internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
You know, she says Trekkie. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I thought she was saying Chucky.
I know, but why Trekkie? Hold on, let's see if she says it again.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello,
yep,
kid
she
monster.
Did, Trekkie.
You are ruining my song.
Oh. Sorry, me no mean to.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, please, being quiet for a minute so I can finish.
Okie dokie.
Good. I'm glad we have this new technology.
For porn.
Which gives us untold opportunity.
For porn.
Oh,
sorry.
From your own desktop.
For.
You can research, browse, and shop.
For
until
porn.
You've had enough and you're ready to stop.
For porn. The Internet is for porn. The Internet is for porn. Keep me up all night hugging me. Porn to porn. Porn, porn.
Me all night up all night hugging me. Horn for porn. Porn, porn. Oh, that's sick. Okay. So now we know
we have stooped to it. We're getting stooped to the low end of this show. We're going to catch up with your mentors here soon. We're going to have to put an R rating on this show.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, would you like to hear Patrick Stewart do a little bit of Shakespeare?
Yeah, please. I got to go to the bathroom.
Okay, well.
I'll put it on speaker so I can hear it.
Oh, okay.
Be or not a bee? That is the question. Whether 'tis the second letter of the alphabet, or some other merry letter.
Merry letter, no doubt.
Be or not a bee.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, by my sword, I declare, be or not a bee, tis bee.
Tis bee.
Good night.
Good night.
Sweet bee.
Oh, that's great.
Bravo!
Bravo.
Was adequate, but clearly not rooted in the method approach. I do not understand data because it's polite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And one of the most famous quotes in Klingon is to be or not to be. That is the question that presents us as Klingons.
Let me see if I can do it. Doc Bay, Doc Ness. Or something like that.
Doc Bay, Doc Ness.
Okay, well, whatever.
It helps when you have the Klingon translator.
Plus, now, I tried to interrupt you earlier, and I can never do that. But I did find out I was wrong earlier. Christopher Plummer is very much kicking, thank goodness, because he's an excellent actor. So, Mr. Plummer, if you happen to be listening to this podcast, what the hell is wrong with you? But I'm sorry to, you know, give out details of your demise. They were clearly over-exaggerated. So, let's continue.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
General, I ask for your forgiveness.
Please, yes. Did we not hear the dog? Anyway, let's slip the dogs of war.
You can tell he's a Shakespearean actor.
Oh, definitely.
Because he used it to the hilt.
You know the best...
And what's so funny is they actually do... have a Klingon opera.
Sure.
Out there in the book.
Yeah.
And
another thing, he was in a Star Trekian type of movie back in 1977 before he was ever associated with Star Trek. And do you know what that movie was?
No, I don't. Enlighten me.
Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour. Christopher Reeve wills himself back into time to be with the character that Jane Seymour did, Lisa McKenna, and Christopher Plummer plays her stage manager. Awesome. William Robin Fawcett. It was a beautiful movie. You'd love it. You gotta get it.
Well, we'll have to get it sometime. I'll have to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
By the way, Lou, I want you to know the proposal was sent Monday also. We might be actually broadcasting live at the Lou Trek at Starbase Indy.
Really?
Yes,
live
really.
On the Lou Trek show?
On the Lou Trek show.
Wow, well I'm gonna have to definitely show you how to record and stuff.
Well, no, you'll be on at the same time too, my friend.
No, I won't be. I'll be at work.
No. We'll be doing it in the evening.
Oh, in the evening? Yeah. I don't know what time I'll be getting off. From what I understand, you know, I do loss prevention for a living. And in my particular position, there's only a couple of us that actually are doing what I do. And I pretty much told them months ago I volunteer to work the entire day from open to close. It's, you know.
About Saturday?
Saturday's possible there.
Sunday.
Do it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
What I told them is I would like to. I'm going to have the webcam up too. By the way, we will be. I would like to Ustream this.
So we'll do it live. Yes, absolutely.
We will do it live. You'll get the Lou Trek show. Will actually get to see what it's like to be at a Star Trek convention.
Wow.
I plan on hooking up. I'm planning on talking with the techno geeks of Starfleet Command. And seeing if they could help me hook up a video feed to the Lou Trek show, and we can stream in live what it's like to sit at a Star Trek convention and see a Star Trek convention as it's progressing through the day.
Absolutely. You know, all you need is an internet connection and a link to Ustream with a webcam. And poof, you've done it.
And... Like I said, I'm waiting. I'll know next week by our next broadcast,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not we will have Mr. Shepard and Mr. Richter as guests on the Lou Trek Show.
Sure. All right. And don't forget, folks, we're still working on time travel. I got a feeling breakthrough's coming anytime now. Anytime now. Of course, our first couple tries have been a failure, weren't they? How many times have we died?
Three,
yeah.
We tried to warp around the sun, but unfortunately, you chickened out because you didn't trust my navigational skills.
Yes, but I still got a feeling that may be our only choice. We may have to do it that way. We're just going to have to work on it.
Now, I did volunteer to jump on the USS Gorkon and go over to the portal of time and jump through the portal of time and do it. Mm-hmm. But, again, you're afraid of being beamed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want your atoms scattered across the universe.
Is there some reason you want my atoms scattered across the galaxy, boy?
Now, I also agreed to coax Admiral Janeway into a Janeway paradox and get us over.
Oh, boy. You better bring some Tylenol. Extra stank Tylenol. Oh, that's another thing. The boys on Make It So. Where them and I disagree completely, is they absolutely hated Janeway. They said her voice was like, it sounded like a cheese grater.
It does sound like a cheese grater, but you know what? She made the cheese grater sound sexy.
Pretty good. I wouldn't mind a little cheese. But, you know, the only thing I didn't like about Janeway is they were, in the beginning, they made her too soft. I mean, you could see the tears almost streaming in her eyes. In the first season or two, but then she grew a pair and was a little tougher.
she grew some gonads and actually made herself into a respectable captain.
Absolutely. So
she finally got to sit in the big man's chair and actually prove that a woman can sit in the captain's chair and actually be something.
That's right.
But of course, there's another famous Enterprise captain who also sat in the captain's chair and was female and made it perfectly clear, I don't give a rat's ass. I'm the captain.
Who's that?
Enterprise C captain.
Oh, Captain Rachel Garrett.
Captain Rachel Garrett.
Yep.
Gee, did you see how she brilliantly took Crusher and basically slapped her in the face and said, screw you, I'm the captain, I'm going, I don't give a shit if you are the ship's doctor.
Yeah, okay. Really. I liked her.
Yes, I mean, Garrett was, to me, the quintessential captain. Mm-hmm. For a good female role as a captain, she was blunt, straight, to the point. She didn't care what you thought. She was going to do it because I'm the captain, and
absolutely,
that's the way it is.
And, of course, that was the episode that, you know, yesterday's Enterprise that brought back Tasha Yar. That was a good one, you know, because I remember thinking the first time I saw TNG that she was going to be an awesome character and she'd live on forever. But, of course, they killed her in the first season. Remember that? We were thinking that, weren't we?
The skin of Arnis, I think it was what killed her.
Yeah, Armis, yeah. The oil slick. Who would have saw that coming?
So. she got greased.
Absolutely. Greased, all right. Grease is the word. So
she got lubed, baby.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, well, hey, Brian, that's going to take us to the end here. How about a little independent artist music?
Whoa, wait a minute. We're at the end already? We're just having fun, Lou.
We're at 53 minutes, and we try to cap this off at an hour. Hour is that sweet spot. You know, anything more than that, the listener's going,
yeah, I know, but it's been an hour already?
It's been
Sheesh.
An hour. I know.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, brother.
Well, then meet me tomorrow. We'll do some more.
Oh, I plan on it. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow yet, but we'll do something.
Oh, you know, it's got to be a surprise. I don't like telling anybody what the topic is anymore, because then we like to change it on short notice.
Yeah, especially this one came out of left field, because neither one of us had anything laid out today, so we just combined our mind. We did, oh, I know what it was. I came over there. Beamed into Nebraska over there, and I did the Vulcan. Since I'm part Vulcan anyway, too, by the way, besides, for the record, people, I'm one half Vulcanoid, one quarter Klingon, one quarter human. My mom and dad were half breeds, so I'm only a quarter breed. So I came over, I transported down because I'm not afraid to have my molecules spread across the universe, and I did a Vulcan mind meld on poor Lou, and that's how we came up with the show today.
Oh, that explains why I feel all screwed up.
Yeah, that's why you got that bad attitude.
You got
that Klingon part of me. It wasn't that Romulan part, that sneaky, conniving, backstabbing part.
My God, that's why I wanted to kill the other driver in traffic today. That explains it. Okay, well, anyway.
Sorry, Lou. I mean, I gave you the best part of me.
Oh, really? All right. On that note,
I gave you that Klingon aggressiveness.
Cool. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I remember we were gonna do a episode about ships and Star Trek ships and runabouts, shuttles, and even the Federation timeship Ion. But we went ahead and into the anniversary, so maybe we'll get that to another time. So anyway, let's go ahead.
What's our independent artist tonight, Lou?
Today, his name is Bob McSweeney. That almost sounds like a McDonald's thing, McSweeney. It's a frozen treat. He's a frozen treat. Bob McSweeney. And the song is called If Ever. Take a listen, and I'll be right back to wrap it up.
Amen.
When I hear this part, it sounds like it's coming straight from Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, tell me about it.
That was Bob McSweeney, and If Ever, I'll have a link to his website on the main page.
I thought that was Eddie and the Cruisers there for a minute.
Yeah, that's what I said in the beginning. That was pretty cool. Eddie, it sounded just like, John Cafferty in the Beaver Brown Band.
Yeah, about it.
Definitely. So, okay, Brian, well, hey, thanks for showing up.
I'm glad
you're feeling better.
I'm happy to show up. I love doing this show. It's a unique niche that very few people can say they do. They have their own radio show.
Sure.
Never know. One of these days will be as famous as Howard Stern and Bob and Tom.
Bob and Tom. Lou and Brian.
Sounds pretty good, don't it?
That just rolls off the tongue.
Tell me about it.
Either that or it's just trying to
or
get away.
Or Lou and Karad.
Karad. Okay, Karad. We're out of here. So, thanks a lot. Can't do it without you.
Oh, I can't do it without you neither, bro.
All right. Well, that's true, but it'd be the Brian Trek Show.
No, it'd always be the Lou Trek Show.
Yeah.
You started it. All I do is help you make it better.
Cool. Thank you.
Captain, shall I engage the warp engines?
Make it so. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Remember, you can send us topic suggestions. Just communicate with us somehow. Send a flare-up. I don't care. LouTrekShow@gmail.com.
Or US or USS COUSS or con.com.
That'll be a link in the show notes. Good night.
Good night.